This podcast is sponsored by Blacker Yarns. Blacker Yarns produce a diverse range of breed-specific knitting and crochet yarn. With everything from Shetland and Blue-faced Leicester through to Wensleydale, Gotland and Teeswater, you'll be sure to find an unexpected treat. If you're thinking of exploring breed-specific yarns for the first time, or buying a few balls of a breed local to your area, then head over to www.blackeryarns.co.uk. All Blackers wares are spun and dyed on their mill in Cornwall using 100% British fibre and sustainable production methods. Hello! And welcome to Pomcast, the podcast brought to you by Pom Pom Quarterly. I'm Lydia Gluck, and I'm here, as I am every month, with the fabulous Sophie Scott. Hi, Sophie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Not bad. It's getting a bit chilly around here, isn't it?
I know, winter happened.
Oh, damn. Did anyone tell you?
No, I didn't get a letter in the post or anything.
I didn't get a memo this year.
It just happened.
Oh, man.
One day I was wearing my autumn coat, next day, winter coat.
I was wearing my light autumn jacket.
Exactly.
Anyway, we hope you guys are well and happy, and it's flowing freely and warmly. Yes, this is a podcast where we talk about knitting and all the other things in between. What have you been up to recently?
I've been to Wales.
That's nice.
I like Wales. My family live there. And I've been playing bridge a lot.
Oh, tell me about bridge. I'm not a player of bridge.
Bridge is a fun card game where you have to have four people. I feel like I have many hobbies that are traditionally associated with, shall we say, an older person.
But who's to stereotype hobbies these days?
Well, exactly. Only silly people do that. So I not only do knitting, but now I play bridge as well. alongside listening to Radio 4 and all the rest of it. So I've been playing bridge and... Bridge. Well, you know what the suits are for cards, right?
Yes.
There are four of them.
All right, I'm all right with that.
The only bit of bridge that... I mean, bridge is complicated and I probably know about a third of the rules.
Do the rules keep changing every time you play it? Someone's like, oh, no, that's the Wild Wicked card. You can throw that any time. Change the suit.
It's a bit more like, you know, when you do GCSE biology or something and you learn some stuff and then you go to A-level and they're like, all that stuff we told you before. It's just lies. So I think it's probably something a bit like that. But we play, you know, the version that we can kind of manage. But we do have a special song for each suit of the cards.
Right. Enlighten me.
So, I mean, you can probably guess some of them. So for clubs, we have... Wanna make love in this club. With this club. And so when you play a club, you have to do that.
It, yeah.
And then for diamonds, we have Shine Bright Like a Diamond.
I was going to say Diamonds Girl Best Friend, but no.
Yeah,
okay.
For hearts, we have Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Nice, yeah.
And for spades, we have the Ace of Spades, of course.
This is a key part of bridge. I didn't know these rules for the musical round.
There'll probably be some, like, more serious bridge players out there who are thinking, hey, why did we include this cool musical round into our games?
I mean, it makes me want to join in for certain.
It's really fun. Anyway, how about you? What have you been up to?
I went to Bath. That's a nice part of the country.
So I hear. I've never actually been there. Tell me about Bath. Bath.
Yeah. Wait, which one did I say?
You said Bath. I say Bath.
Either one's acceptable, and you end up in the same place, so that's a relief.
Phew.
It's very, very charming. Everything's kind of quaint and cobbled as well. The history is one of those places in England where they have a lot of history. Mm. And yeah, went for my mum's birthday.
Lovely.
Very pleasant.
What did you do? Did you go to museums?
We went to the Fashion and Textile Museum. Which has a very good section where you can you look at all these clothes. You know, obviously, Bath's very famous for all the Jane Austen novels that were written around that area.
Mm-hmm.
All the characters went to Bath to take the waters. You walk through and you see all these Georgian and Regency period clothes. And then there's a dressing up section where you get to try on bonnets. And they have like a scene like painted on the walls where you can pose in all your little outfits. It's one of the best parts of the
museum. I look forward to seeing pictures of you in that.
Plenty of pictures of me in a bonnet, yes. So that was good fun. What have you been knitting though?
Well, exactly. Good point. Let's move this on to tell and tell, where we tell each other.
And you guys,
what we've been making. Well, I've been working on my Abrams Bridge cardigan from the autumn issue of Pom Pom, which I'm making in a slightly thinner yarn than the recommended one. I had originally bought the yarn to make a Maud jumper.
Yes.
And it's the Midwinter Yarns... I'm not going to try and pronounce the name of it, but it's the sort of DK version.
Begins with P or something, yeah.
It's like... Perkalanka.
That's nice.
That's my impression of... I think that's got to be close, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I brought some of that in a lovely red at the Great London Yarn Crawl Marketplace, and I was going to make a Maud jumper. And then I realised that Maud jumper is, I mean, it's amazing. I loved it. I love that jumper, but it's the wrong kind of shape for my body. And so I thought, I will make an Abrams bridge instead. And so the original yarn for that was more of a sort of Aran weight. But the yarn I'm using is a DK. So did a little swatching.
Oh, nice. A little bit of knitting maths.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because, I don't know, I'm quite a loose knitter. So actually kind of, and it just makes the fabric a bit sort of lighter.
I suppose it's a big oversized cardi as well. So that's one of the things you can get away with.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, no, I checked my gauge and everything, everyone. So well done me. And I'm like most of the way through it now. I've got,
awesome.
I reckon 20% left to go.
That's a good, very precise.
I'm thinking of it in like the little bar on Ravelry where you're like, how far through are you?
Do you do that? You should just like start and then I'm like, oh, 100%, yep, done.
No, I like to kind of try.
Really?
I mean, it's kind of an imprecise science, let's be honest. But I would say, yeah, I'm going to go 20%. Yeah, how about you?
Well, I'm 99% done on a Koyu.
I think it's Kuyu
shawl by Angela Tong, which I haven't been able to mention. It's been a little like secret project because I've been knitting it for my mum's birthday.
Oh,
she listens, obviously. Good old mum. Hi, mum. So I had to do the thing. I don't know if you've had the situation where you're like, oh, I knit something for the birthday. This would be great. And I started it in plenty of time. I started this like in September. And then I still ended up wrapping it up while it's still on the needles and being like, oh, surprise, this is going to be finished very soon. Watch out for the needles. So I had a little chunk which actually finished over the weekend in Bath, so it was all right. And now I just got to cast it off. And I was like, look, I'll block it for you properly. You'll have it at Christmas. So
perfect.
I think that's sometimes the way of knitted gifts. There'll just be a slight delay in the process.
In my experience, I mean, if it's me knitting them, it's like 90%. I'm going to go percentages.
Yeah.
90% of the time, that's how it works out for me.
I thought it was actually, I felt that was quite on time for being like on the weekend. It's now cast off pretty much.
Yeah.
The weekend of the birthday. You're practically done, you know, you're practically early, you know, a knitting term.
Well, actually, I finished, speaking of gifts and knitting as we are, my brother's jumper that I had been making for good year and a half.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if people follow this podcast they'll be like, oh yeah, I'm picking that up.
So I think I mentioned last time that I had picked it back up again, and I did finish it.
Yes.
On Sam's birthday.
Oh yeah.
In the morning I was watching Narcos, which is really good. Anyone who's got Netflix, watch that. It's really good.
Side note.
Yeah. Yeah, I finished it, but yeah, I did that. I was seaming it.
Nice. Yeah.
On the morning, you know, he was coming over for lunch. I was seaming it and then seaming and steaming.
Yep.
To get it all ready for him, and he loved it.
I think maybe some people will be doing some Christmas knitting now.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't do Christmas knitting, as everyone knows. I do birthday knitting.
There we go.
Because they're more spread out.
So also, we usually start with a top tip, top tip. Let's move into that.
Okay, cool.
I think top tip this week, I suppose I say week. You're listening to it within the context of a week, but this podcast. The question is, to frog or not to frog?
That is the question.
That is the question. What are your views on
frogs? They're like toads. Smaller, I believe.
Yes, okay. Moving on to the knitting. So have the situation, and we present it to you. You're knitting something.
Mm-hmm.
You realise there's a mistake. Far enough down that you wouldn't be able to just tink this, you know, stitch by stitch. We all know tink is the reverse of knit. I love that. To frog or not to frog, Lilia?
I'd say frog,
okay.
I think, in most circumstances.
What would be a situation you wouldn't do that?
Well, for example, I have a cardigan, one of the first cardigans I ever made, which is, I love it, and it's lots of cables and lace, and the cables are, you know, it's designed so that the cables are, like, mirrored on the, you know, on the left and right sides.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, you're doing left-leaning cables on one side and right leaning cables on the other. It's lovely. And
which card is that? I can't...
It's like a little green one. I made it when I was in Mexico. I've had it forever.
Never seen you wear this. All right. So
I haven't worn it in a long time. Anyway. And I made a mistake in one of the cables so that it goes in the wrong direction.
Right.
I only realised right near the end. Now, I think I probably would rip that back, actually, because my knitting skills have improved slightly, I think.
True.
And back then, I was more just like, I made a cardigan, which, I mean, that's still cool.
Yeah,
you know. So I finished it and then realised I'd made this mistake, and it has not hindered my enjoyment of this cardigan in the slightest. But now I think I would go back just because I can, in a way. Yeah.
I think, yeah, I think if you're asking yourself the question, and even it, I do it a lot to, like, people I know who are nurses, and I'm like, oh, should I frog this? And I think if you're asking that question, the answer is, yeah.
You should. Just do it. And the other thing is that often you'll go, should I? Oh, no, it's fine. I don't mind. And then you carry on knitting, and then 3 days later you're like, nope. This is going to bother me forever.
But there are situations you can be just like, oh, just fudge it and it's fine. But I think a lot, we're getting 99% maybe? I don't know, what's the percentage on this?
I don't know. Because I mean, obviously if it's going to affect, if you're making a garment and it's going to affect the way the garment fits you, then that's like, definitely frog it. Otherwise you're just going to end up with a thing that you can't use.
A third sleeve. I'm sure no one will notice.
No one will ever know. But, and you know, there's like varying levels of perfectionism amongst the people of the world. I'm not really 100% a perfectionist, let's be honest. But I think, I don't know.
It's a hard one to call. Yeah. It's like a situational thing. I think you have to treat it as, you know, if you're knitting for someone else, is it going to be for you? What kind of yarn you're working with?
Try to think of something I've frogged recently. Because I feel like I do a fair bit of frogging, because I often just stop paying attention while I'm knitting something and have to go back.
Yeah, it's still, I know it's always frustrating, which I think is why you have that question of like, oh, do I do it? And it's going to, you know, you want to see progression in your knitting, but kind of still undoing it, still knitting, it's all part of the process.
And it's in the short, you know, if you just, like you say, if it occurs to you that you should frog, and you should probably just do it then. And the best thing, I think, actually, is to frog it and immediately restart.
Yeah.
And even if you just knit, like, one row, say you've had to rip back, like, quite a few inches, get the stitches back on the needles and just do a couple of rows, because then you feel like you're kind of back in the game.
That's good advice, yeah. So guys, get it back in the game. Get those needles
on. Get back on the horse.
Caught me enjoying some yarn. Hi, we're moving on to news and reviews now. News. It's Christmas and there's a pom-pom party on the horizon.
There certainly is. So on the 11th of December, we will be having our annual, third year running, annual pom-pom Christmas party at Foyles upstairs in their event space, which is very exciting because we're big fans of Foyles. Those of you who don't know, it's just a brilliant independent bookshop in central London, and pom-pom is stocked there. And it's excellent. It's an excellent shop because it kind of champions a lot of independent book producing types of all kinds.
that's the tagline for Pom Pom, yeah?
So we've got, we'll have live music, there'll be drinks, hopefully there'll be some dancing, but importantly, there'll be a pop-up marketplace as well.
So it's bigger. I think, this is the most vendors ever.
Definitely, that we've ever had, that's for sure. Let's just tell them about all the vendors.
So you've got the Fibre Company, a little bit more of those guys later, and we have a little review about their yarn.
Exactly, we've got a yarn story, who'll be bringing Sweet Georgia Yarns.
Special guest is Clara Parks.
Clara Parks!
She's going to whisper some yarn right there for us.
She is, so that's very exciting. We're so pleased that she's coming over.
Come and say hi to her. Also, Rainbow Heirloom and Tin Can Knits.
And Coop Knits and her Socks Yeah yarn, which is absolutely lovely if you haven't seen or heard of it.
You'll say yeah when you do.
You'll be like, yeah.
The Own Common Thread, we think she's great.
Yeah, she's a pom-pom fave. Well, obviously they all are.
Goes without saying.
I'm actually wearing a jumper right now made of Uncommon Thread yarn.
How you found it?
Uncommonly delightful.
Also got Kettle Yarn Co. You might know her from the last year's pom-pom pop-up.
Yep. We've got Lily T and Fiona Alice. Lily T being the designer name for the lovely Natalie Sellers, who designed Palila for our summer issue this year.
It's a yellow cardi. You may know it.
It's very lovely. And Fiona Alice, as we said. And
Border Mill, who do some amazing alpaca.
Really lovely alpaca. And Anna Maltz and Navia Yarns. Anna Maltz will have her very, very exciting and very beautiful new book.
Oh, yeah.
Which is all designed... inspired by penguins.
It is. Sorry, I'm just like, I didn't realise it's going to be December. I'm like, oh, and the book's going to be there.
Yeah.
I can't wait, guys. When I finally realise what month it is, it's going to be wonderful.
And last but not least, we will have Easy Knits with their beautiful, brightly coloured yarns. So that is quite a lineup. We're very pleased to have them all. So if you've been paying attention at all to any of the pom-pom mag social media areas like Instagram or Facebook or maybe our website even.
Twitter.
Or Ravelry, Twitter. So many memes. Anyway, if you are aware of and paying attention to any of those, then you might already know that we will be releasing very, very shortly, and actually, I suppose, depending on when you listen to this podcast, may have already released, our first ever book. So Pom Pom Quarterly has diversified into Pom Pom Press.
House of Pom Pom.
House of Pom Pom, exactly. And we are very, very excited and very, very proud to be publishing a collection of patterns by Fiona Alice, who has worked with us previously for two different designs, and will be at the party. She'll be there signing books. So if you're there, you can get a copy. And I mean, we're really, really proud of it. We think it's very, very beautiful. It's called Take Heart, and it's a collection of 10 different accessory designs. Including the Take Heart hat, which was first published in issue 7 of
you
Pom Pom.
You may know Fiona from that issue.
Exactly, yeah. And my sisters both own one of those hats and they're very pleased with them.
It's a classic knit.
Yep. We shot it in Wales, around the coast around there, and it's very, very beautiful, if I don't say so myself.
It's a nice kind of homage to, obviously, Fiona's from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little. We'll learn more about this when we interview her. Hey guys, you got an interview coming up. Yeah. How much of her Canadian roots and also a bit of UK-based yarns. And
yeah, her journey from Canada to here, and she kind of traces that through the designs, and all the yarns are either Canadian or British. But yeah, I think we should cut this off here because we are interviewing Fiona for this podcast, so you'll get to hear straight from the designer. So you can look forward to that. So that's pretty much our news, I think.
I think so. I'm excited.
I'm excited.
For reviews, we've got two bonus reviews. We have some lovely yarn from Blacker Yarns. They've sponsored this podcast. And a little review of a Fibre Company's pattern collection. Let's go with Blacker first, because alphabetically, why not?
Yeah, that makes sense. So this episode, we have some of their gorgeous Gotland, which comes in both DK and 4-ply, but we've got some 4-ply here.
It's blue.
It is blue.
I know you guys can't see that, but it's a nice blue. We'll get a little swatch on the blog. Yeah, if you ever want to see any of the notes from this podcast, head to the Pom Pom website and this blog post. But anyway, imagine a nice blue in your mind's eye. So tell me about Gotland, Lydia.
So Gotland, it's kind of like shiny and silky.
It's got a nice luster to it, I think. I'd say. Like, you just don't know, sometimes if you have a blue-faced luster, it kind of has a kind of shine to it.
Yeah.
Similar to that.
Lovely sheen, but it's, I guess, a bit kind of crunchier. Sturdier,
yeah.
Could we say?
I've heard Blueface Leicester described as the British cashmere.
Ah, okay.
All right, but it's not that. We're not talking about Blueface
Leicester.
No,
we're talking
guys,
about
sorry.
Gotland.
But yeah, definitely a crunchy, sticky nature. Delicious.
Yes, and it's kind of heathered. It's like over-dyed, this yarn. It's really lovely because the Gotland sheep come in many shades, like other sheep sometimes do. So that's kind of fun. And it's a particularly warm wool, as we found out on the Blacker Yarns website, which is an awesome website because there's loads of information about all different kinds of breeds, because they sell lots of breed specific yarns, as we know.
Hey.
But it's fun. And the owner and founder of the company, Sue Blacker, she owns a flock of Gotland sheep, and every batch of their Gotland yarn is blended with a small amount of her flock.
That's nice. Get a little bit of Blacker in every ball.
Exactly. And apparently Sue says that they are an extremely intelligent sheep with a sense of humour and mischief.
I feel like I can identify with this sheep a lot.
It's a mischievous yarn right there. Yeah, and so there's both DK and 4-ply, as I said. And I think, like so many of these kind of British breed yarns, colour work, probably a strong contender something to use it for. What do you think?
I think so. I can see a good tam o' shanter in this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, well, we've said this before with the Blacker yarns, they're a woolly wool. That's
yeah.
That's what this is being classified as.
Yeah, so if you're like a... If you get itchy with woolly wools, it might not be your bag, no. Baby. But I do not get itchy with woolly wools, so I'm absolutely fine.
All over it.
All over that stuff. So for more information and to buy it, I guess you can go to blackeryarns.co.uk, which, as I already highly recommended, just for fun reading about British breeds, because I think they've got a lot going on there.
Review number two, moving down the alphabet to F. We have a little pattern collection from the Fibre Company. So it's a collection of 8 designs by Rachel C. Brown. You may know her as Porpoise or Purpose Knits.
Yep. And yeah, so it's 8 designs, all accessories, very cably.
Very textured.
I think we can say very textured, all in Fibre Company's Tundra, which is a bulky alpaca merino and silk mix.
Ooh, sounds nice.
Very
sounds
lovely.
Very warm.
Yeah, so it's got that kind of the lovely alpaca and merino to keep you warm. Little silk for sheen. So, Sophie, tell me about one of these patterns that you like.
Well, I liked Eyfjord. I think that's how I pronounce it.
That seems good to me.
Eyfjord, you hat. and it is a hat. It's got a nice little cable detail, sort of like herringbone cables, you know, when they're nicely balanced. And because all these designs are using the fibre company Tundra, nice chunky quick designs. Maybe squeeze a couple in before Christmas. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be a good little Christmas hat.
Yeah. Video agrees, I'd definitely recommend it. Yeah, and it's a nice sort of unisex design as well. They've got it in sort of a nice kind of warm, oatmeal-y beige.
Yeah, it's lovely. And actually, can we just say quickly that the model, first of all, the pictures are lovely. I mean, the knits are lovely, but the pictures also of the knits, lovely, and shot in the Lake District, and the just the landscape's very, very beautiful. And the model's hair is bright orange and looks
the model's
really
hair
cool.
Looks great against the all the colours.
It does. It's like Autumn Fest.
Yeah, it's like some sort of knitter's edition of Brave. You know, Disney film. Is it Pixar?
And I'm a big fan of Hegelia, which are gauntlets. Is gauntlets like tube, like arm tube?
It's a Latin for arm tube.
You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have a thumb hole.
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
Okay, because that's what I thought. Anyway, they're sort of reverse stockinette stitch with kind of big cable design down the back. And they just look really snuggly. And I'm a big fan of gauntlets because you can wear them with your mittens. Oh, and the wrist area gets cold.
Is a gauntlet a tiny gaunt? Anyway, so these, they're all lovely, chunky Tundra yarn accessories. Mm-hmm. Different sizes and different sort of levels of difficulties there with the cables, so yeah. Something for everyone.
Yeah, there's a few lovely, very simple designs like Roster, which is a kind of buttoned cowl that's a good beginnery design,
yeah.
And some very simple little fingerless mitts called, I don't know how you say the O with the line through, I'm going to go nurse.
Oh, I like it. That sounds quite...
Sound of profesh.
Yeah.
Nordic. Yeah, so check those out. So again, that's by Rachel C. Brown with the lovely Fibre Company yarn. So for today's interview, we are joined by Fiona Blanchard, who you might know better as Fiona Alice. She's originally from Nova Scotia in Canada and now lives and works in London. She has designed for Pom Pom several times and she interned with us briefly and is now the designer behind our first book, Take Heart, which we discussed briefly earlier and which we will continue to discuss throughout this interview. So let's go meet Fiona.
Yeah.
Hello. Thanks for joining us in what I would call a greenhouse at the moment. We're somewhere in the middle of East London in a garden in a really pretty greenhouse.
We are, yeah. It's lovely. It's kind of like a sort of autumnal blustery day.
Yeah.
Do you say blustery?
I definitely would. You say blustery, Fiona?
Yes. I agree that category.
I think we're all agreed. Yeah. So we're in this lovely greenhouse with Fiona, and we have some questions for her, as we always do. So, Sophie, do you want to start?
So it's no surprise that we're going to start with our classic question. We haven't changed the formula too much. So how did you start knitting?
Well, I think it was at an early age. I must have been around 8 or 9 years old, but I'm sure like many other knitters, it was my mum, Wendy, who taught me how to knit. And I was just very happy for many years to knit garter stitch scarves. But it was originally her grandmother, Alice, who taught my mum how to knit. And so she's passed that down on to me. And so I'm also named after my great-grandmother, Alice, Fiona Alice. So I feel like it's a great skill that she's passed on and I can still keep it alive through, or a little part of her alive through my knitting.
That's lovely. Shout out to the mums. I like you got that in first off. Yeah. Like, hi, mum! So, your creative path kind of carried on to you studying?
I did my BFA at the Nova Scotia College of Art and Design University. It's a mouthful of a name, but within that I focused on textiles and fashion. Definitely heavy on the textile side, made a lot of weaving, screen printing, dyeing, but then with those finished fabrics, I was kind of turning them into garments as well.
And so while you were studying, did you use a lot of hand knits in your work at university, or did that kind of come towards the end or after? Like, what was the kind of journey?
Well, knitting, it's always been a hobby, but it definitely during university, because NASCAD didn't have a knitting program, it was kind of my way to procrastinate from my homework assignment. So I'd spend all day weaving in the studio, but come home and knit a little bit here or there. It wasn't until my last year when I applied for an exchange semester and I was granted that. So I went to the Glasgow School of Art to study in Scotland. And I took knitting and embroidery there because there were two subjects NASCAD didn't offer. Mostly machine knitting, but a little bit of hand knitting, but it definitely kind of renewed my interest in knitting. So when I did come home to do my final fashion collection before graduating, I did a series of dresses and a kilt, but then added knitted accessories. So that was kind of my first step into designing. And it just kind of, you know, it felt really good to be knitting again, but also to be kind of creating as well. So it kind of, after graduating, I had more time for knitting. So that's why I stuck with.
So I guess the first design that we published of yours in Pom Pom was Take Heart, which was a hat in issue 7, which was winter 2013, I believe. Let's hope I got that right. And you referred in that to your kind of stay in Glasgow. Were you at Glasgow at the time that you sent us that proposal?
No, I had graduated maybe 2 years beforehand. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, it was kind of definitely a design that I kind of drew on inspiration from that trip. Mm-hmm. I feel like that trip definitely gave me the kind of idea that hand knitting is still quite alive and well everywhere, but it gave me the idea that this is something that I wanted to pursue. It took a while till after I came home, and that also led to my first job in a yarn shop. Mm-hmm. And then I was also knitting and selling at through boutiques downtown and one of my favorite craft fairs, Halifax Crafters, back home in Halifax. So I did a lot of knitting in between Glasgow and submitting Take Heart, but I think it really sparked that kind of interest and love for it.
Yeah, I guess knitting as a kind of career path isn't one, I guess, that often comes up when you're doing those kind of tests at school on what you should be when you grow up, so it's not the sort of thing that would necessarily kind of occur to you, I guess, straight away.
But have you always been interested in retail? This is a very leading question.
Yes, I believe, Sophie. How did you know that I once set up a small shop in my family home where I would make Christmas decorations out of popsicle sticks and glitter and sell them to my mum's friends who would stop by for a cup of tea?
I think your early entrepreneurial spirit is obviously like captured in these, like you say, lolly sticks and glitter. What was the name of the shop again?
I believe I had named it Shop to You Freak at Fee's Boutique. A short opening, but
It made it very made its memories. Mark on the map of retail.
Yes.
Was it so good that you freaked out? Is that the idea?
I think so. It just, you know, too much at once. The world wasn't ready for it.
All right, well.
We're almost ready now. Yeah.
Well, what we almost are ready for now, we're freaking out about it, is your new book, actually.
Thanks, I'm freaking out myself.
In a good way.
Yeah, so this may be for our lovely listeners the first time that they've heard about this, but Fiona has been working on a book with us. That will be the first book published by Pom Pom Press, which is very exciting for everybody involved. And we're all freaking out. Yeah. We're so excited, as previously mentioned. So, for the book...
tell us about the book.
Yeah, tell us about it, and I guess sort of your, first of all, kind of aims for the overall feel of it.
I guess cozy, I think, I don't know, kind of sums it up, and it's... I've been working since Take Heart was published, I've been working on fall and winter accessories. That's kind of what I love to knit the most and what I think about designing the most as well. So I kind of wanted to stick with that theme. Again, I've kind of revisited some pieces I love to do, such as hats, mittens, headbands, scarves, but with this bigger project, I was able to branch out into some new kind of first time accessories for myself. So there's a shawl in there and my first pair of socks as well, which I think is just kind of naturals for accessories to either get a little bit bigger or, you know, kind of move in another direction. So I just wanted kind of a cozy, I feel like it represents me kind of as a designer, but I hope that it's other accessories that, or accessories that other knitters will love to share and enjoy themselves.
I think they will. Yes. I might be biased.
Yeah, we're kind of biased. So the book takes the name Take Heart, which is the name of your hat that we just previously mentioned, you published with Pom Pom. Why did that name get chosen for the title?
Well, it kind of embodied this kind of first time experience for the hat, for moving to Glasgow. It was the first time I'd kind of spent a significant time away from family and friends and kind of a new kind of journey, kind of stumbled my way through Glasgow, but, you know, enjoyed myself and definitely learned a lot about myself, and also the first time, you know, publishing with Pom Pom. So Take Heart kind of started that relationship with Pom Pom, but also kind of introduction to the knitting kind of world as a designer. So I felt like this really embodied this collection again, fumbling my way through London, figuring things out as I go along, but also kind of, you know, the relationship between Pom Pom and I, how it's progressed and how I've progressed as a designer. So I felt it kind of, Take Heart, the term means to be encouraged or to be brave. So I feel like it kind of sums it up quite nicely, the last kind of few years, what I've been trying to figure out about the knitting community and myself. And in doing that, naming it Take Heart, I also wanted to include the hat pattern again as well. So that cable hat will be in the book. So you'll see it again. And then I'll, along with 10 new accessories.
Cool. I think we'll definitely have a little preview on the blog post with this podcast. We can check those out. So the photos, we should talk about those because they're pretty damn good. Again, we're biased. So you did that, the photo shoot in Wales. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Wales. My first time to Wales. And it was gorgeous. And I think because it really kind of sums up kind of the maritime feeling. I grew up in Nova Scotia, not too far from the coast. So in Wales, you get easy access to beaches, but also to forests and kind of rugged outdoor scenery. We don't have many castles to shoot next to in Nova Scotia, so that was definitely a bonus for shooting in Wales. But everything was shot by the lovely Juju Vale, and it was a fun weekend to go out with her and the girls from Pom Pom and kind of run around, trying not to get rained on too much. So it kind of is reminiscent of the Maritimes, but also, you know, the UK being an island itself is a very maritime country as well. So,
yeah, there's lots of connection. I mean, because Swansea did used to be quite an important port, I guess, at some time too long ago. And also we had sort of your good friend and another friend of Pom Pom. We had Natalie Sellers. Is that how I say her name? Natalie Sellers. As model. And she's another Canadian expat. And there's, I mean, it's kind of fun because Juju is also Canadian, of course, and I'm half Canadian. So we had like a little kind of Canadian club.
I'm very English, so.
So was Amy, I guess. Yeah, so we had like a sort of little Canadian stronghold there. Okay, well, we can ask about the yarns that you used, because as you kind of just talked about with the photo shoot, there was kind of an idea of the connection, I mean, you being that connection, I suppose, in this case, between where you grew up in Canada and then the UK. And so we wanted, we decided together that it would be good to use just yarns that were from the UK or from Canada. Mm-hmm. Did you want to tell us a little bit about the kind of process of choosing yarns and maybe if there are any kind of favourites that you had, or not to choose too many, but
they're all favourites
clearly because they made it into the book, but just highlights.
I feel like if I could pick my 10 favourite yarns at the moment, I know this book is exactly what what it is. It's a collection of kind of my 10 favorites at the moment. A lot of them, like we mentioned, I wanted to stick with Canadian British companies. Some of them have been I've been working with for years, especially like Fleece Artist and Handmaiden. That was kind of the first introduction to an indie dye company for me, just like remembering going into these shops, and because they're hand-dyed in Halifax, going into these shops and just seeing these beautiful blends and beautiful colors. And also Illimani, another Canadian company that I've been working with the last few years. So of course I kind of wanted to pay homage to some of my favorites, but also coming to London, there are so many that all of a sudden I've got my hands on, and it's kind of like, I've always wanted to use this because on Instagram it looks incredibly beautiful and shocking, you know, it's even more beautiful in reality. So I'm really excited that I got to finally use companies like Uncommon Thread, John Arbin. I've just been hearing you guys especially talk about about these companies for so long. But then there's also some new companies that I've since kind of come across here, like the Border Mills. Recently came across them last year at Edinburgh Yarn Fest. Yeah, so it's kind of a little kind of, you know, what's in my knitting stash, and I hope others will maybe try to seek out some of these ones and use them as well.
So obviously you've got the palette that you chose for Take Heart, which is an amazing kind of greys and a little bit of orange. How did you come to that decision to use those colors, and what was your plans?
Well, I am a fan of gray.
Yes.
Just all gray. I could probably find a spot for in my knitting stash. And so when I was originally talking to Lydia about kind of what I envisioned for this book, she made the joke to, well, maybe we can't knit everything in gray. But I mean, as I kind of branched out and started looking at some of these yarns, I've definitely chosen a few of my favorite grays. But I also really do like color, but I also find I'm often intimidated by it. But I worked with a lot of purples and a lot of oranges in this book, and surprisingly enough, gray wasn't on the list of colors to choose from, I would have to say purples and oranges are my favorite colors. Mm-hmm. So I worked with a lot of hand-dyed yarns as well, but then I've got some soft neutrals, like the colors I chose from Uncommon Thread that aren't gray but still would work really nice with gray. And I've got that really gorgeous kind of dark navy blue from the Border Mills paired with a gray. I really do like kind of rich saturated colors with gray, so I feel like that's exactly what you'll see in the book.
But if you're gray, gray is the great neutral to go with anything. If you are stuck for something to go with a colour, you're like, oh, I'll just pop a bit of gray in there. So it's an all-encompassing colour.
Thank you.
So we talked a little bit about your travels from Canada to London to Glasgow and everything in between. What do you feel the differences are between the knitting community, between these two places, and sort of the expat community that's built up in the UK and London?
Well, I definitely feel like within Canada and within the UK, like the knitting community is both really strong. It's quite fortunate being in the UK, where everything is just in terms of location, everything is quite dense, and so it's very easy for travel within the UK to visit or to go to various yarn festivals. And there is a lot going on here, whereas within Canada, we've got a handful of really nice ones, but being on the East Coast, sometimes it's not as feasible for me to travel to the West Coast, because it's so incredibly expensive. But I mean, they're there, and there are some that are growing within Canada. I was recently back there to teach at my first knitting festival in Canada, Knit East, which was held in New Brunswick. And so it was really great to kind of reconnect with the maritime community there, and kind of meet knitters from all over Canada, really. They came quite far from it, and some even came up from the States. But I mean, I get to do that a lot more frequently here in the UK, just since there's more variety. Yeah.
You know, so you live in North London. I know it's quite a kind of creative community up there, and that you live with lots of very creative people, but just being in a kind of big city like this one, do you think it's what do you think it's brought to your kind of designing?
I would say a lot, definitely. I mean, I live with a really creative household, so it's really fun to be energized by them. But also, yeah, also London, I mean, it definitely presented itself with opportunities that I might not have been able to get elsewhere. So that's definitely been inspiring and motivating, especially in terms of this project. I feel like my aesthetic as a designer hasn't really changed because I'm still, you know, drawn to the same kind of textures and colors and accessories that I was before. But yeah, I've definitely found the motivation to, yeah, take on these larger projects, take on these new accessories. I feel like it's also, you know, will keep me motivated for when I do leave London, that this is something that I've definitely got the chance to pursue and I want to continue to keep designing, which luckily it can be done anywhere. And I think that's something that I need to strive for. I won't always be in London, but yeah, it's London has taught me a lot about the knitting industry and designing, and that's something that I want to continue. I've met some great knitters from all over the world being here in the UK, but also, funny enough, to kind of become friends with some Canadian ones as well. Natalie Sella is my model in the book and friend. I met her through Instagram, oddly enough. She was another knitter that I followed, and when I saw that she was in the UK doing a few internships, and I thought, hey, that's exactly what I'm trying to kind of get myself into and what I'd like to see myself doing. And so I just wrote her out of the blue one day being like, can I ask you some questions about knitting in London? And she wrote back, and then surely enough, I did my summer at Toft and I was going to come down and intern with Pom Pom, and she just wrote me one day being like, hey, do you want to sublet a room in my flat? So we became really good knitting friends, and then it just seems there's a lot of Canadians over here, and I'm wondering if that's because, you know, the opportunities are here as well.
Yeah, I suppose the knitting community feels like it's getting, like, very well connected with, like you say, like Instagram, especially Ravelry. Like, you end up knowing people in places and places, even if you weren't there. Like, I feel like I was at Rhinebeck, you know, I was on Instagram. It's almost as good.
So this is, like, a bit left field, not necessarily completely related to what we were just talking about, but I realised I wanted to ask you, I mean, this is kind of a vague question, so you might have to kind of talk around it, but...
Talk vaguely about it.
Talk vaguely. Ideal. Exactly. So I don't know if you want to, or if you have a clear idea about how the kind of inspiration works for you when you're designing, like whether it starts with, I mean, it's probably one of many things, or as in it's all of these things, but whether you most frequently start with a kind of stitch pattern or you start with a colour?
I think I start with a texture, yeah, kind of stitch pattern, and either seeing something in like a stitch dictionary, or I've definitely inspected my housemate's clothing, kind of like, hey, can I come here, let me look at that jumper. So I think it starts with them, or I feel like this collection especially definitely started with a texture. And from there I kind of, you know, if it's a contrasting one or if it's a fairly like subtle texture, then I kind of think about colors in terms of how to best that show off. You know, either putting two highly contrasting colors next to each other, or, you know, if it's a soft texture, maybe pair it with a soft neutral to really kind of highlight the stitch pattern. Yeah, so I definitely do work in both ways, but this definitely started with kind of the feel and look, and then I was thinking, you know, do I want to see this on socks, or do I feel like this is a good feel for mittens or hats? Yeah, and then I kind of play around, and then kind of the accessory kind of grows out from a small swatch somehow.
Are you kind of, yeah, I was going to say, you more like knit and go, and then you just like frog it out if it goes wrong, and do you do a lot of planning and swatching? Is it like part of the knitting is actually just experimenting first?
I do a bit of both, but I am one of those knitters that does enjoy the swatching process.
Yeah.
You'll see some of my swatches in the book, and that's only a very small selection of what I've done over the last few months. And I keep them all. I try to.
Yeah.
I try to keep them all. There's some that I had to unravel because I was running out of yarn for the finished accessory, and I was very sad to see those swatches go, but I photographed them beforehand. so I could look fondly back one day.
You do love swatches. This is good. I need to take this on board. I'm a bit like half-assed with swatches sometimes. So.
I don't always swatch though.
Oh, okay. But, controversy.
Yeah, but then again, I find those are the projects where I get halfway through and decide to rip back. But
we've all been there.
I still do it. even when I have a few swatches to go by, it still happens.
So speaking of swatches, what's on your needles right now? A tiny swatch or something bigger?
I've just started a bigger project. It's very much in the beginning stages, but I'm selfishly working on a cardigan for myself. It's Flaum by Justine Krakowska?
Lukowska? Is it Lettuce Knits?
Lettuce Knits, yeah. Flaum. Welcome to being on a podcast and trying to pronounce designers' names.
Well, I also work, we did mention this earlier, but I also work in the knitting shop Loop in Angel, and that one has been staring at me from being on the front cover of the latest Emery Sue issue. Mm. So I've just been, and of course it's knit in grey, and shocking, I'm knitting it in grey as well. Not the owl though that it's shown in, but I've chosen Far by Woolfolk. Nice. Yeah, also a new yarn that has come into the shop. So yeah, I've just been eyeing that for a while, so I've selfishly cast on recently.
I know, I keep asking you, like, how's your project going? Because I basically want to knit it and work with that yarn as well, so I'm just kind of vicariously knitting through you.
I will let you know.
You will keep me updated.
Yeah.
Good.
So we can do one of our sort of standard questions. So Fiona, we're going to cast you onto a desert island, but we're going to allow you to take one yarn with you. You can have as many colours as you want, but it has to be just the one base.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to take with you?
Fiona's so zen. She doesn't look bothered about being cast away. She's like, cool, man. I'm done with it.
Do many knitters take into account that it's a desert island?
Well, it can be any kind of... I mean, some people reckon it'll be, you know, kind of a cold and rugged desert island.
Okay, that would be my...
So we'll make it cold and rugged.
We just, like, banish you to Canada. Is that what you're imagining?
You could find a small island just to stick me on.
Yeah.
One of my favourites is no longer, it's been discontinued.
Okay.
Can I tell you one of my favorites?
Yeah, well then, because within the rules of this, we're getting it back in production for you.
Especially for you.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish, okay. And I feel like I have enough in my Canadian stash that could last me a while, because I definitely stocked up on it. It's called River, and it's an older one by Fleece Artist. So again, repping Halifax company on a desert island. River was a blend of baby alpaca, silk, and merino wool. Oh, and nice. I know a lot of blends I've used in the book are alpaca, merino, silk related, but this one had all three, and it was an Aran weight, so it was nice and hearty. Came in all of the lovely Fleece Artist colors. But yeah, it was just one of those favorites that, like, really great stitch definition, a little bit of fuzz, a little bit of sheen, all around. Reliable guy. Yeah.
That's what you like from your yarns and your people.
Yes.
Very good. And then also, we always ask people what would be their spirit animal and why. I've got a vague idea what you might say.
Yeah, I have a note here.
could be proven wrong.
I would have to say a cat.
Right, oh, I mean,
if,
nice.
Yeah, if you guys didn't edit it out, then our viewers could hear me getting distracted by the cat who often shows up in the window of the greenhouse here. yeah, I've got two cats, one home in Canada named Fergus, and the other one here in London named Battle Cat.
Yeah.
And they're... personalities are polar opposites, but I feel like they kind of encompass me, you know, embody my personality. So, yeah, and they're great knitting companions when they're not chewing on the skein. So, yeah.
What is it about these two cats that represents your personality then?
Fergus is, I would say, an elderly cat now at this stage. He is grey.
Of course he is.
That's the only reason you're so animal.
If anyone... is on my Instagram account, they might see him frequently, though not as much as I'd like since he's home in Canada. He has just been an old man from the day he was born, just lazy, cuddly, and grey. and then Battle Cat in London, She's a kitten, and she's defiant and incredibly sassy. And so I feel like I can, you know,
embody all these things.
Yeah, go either way. Yeah.
All with a fantastic grey coat.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. So future plans. Obviously, you've got the book coming out soon. And you've been doing a lot of teaching and exhibiting, as you said, over the summer. What are your plans for knit domination in the future?
I think just to continue and to build on this more. I have to start thinking about a new plan soon because my visa will shortly expire this coming summer. So I kind of get to think about where I envision myself next year, whether it's going back home to Canada or perhaps off to a new adventure. But I feel like knitting will kind of
pave the way.
Yeah, we'll lead the way. And so I'd love to continue to teach. And I mean, designing can also be done from anywhere. But who knows where that will be. So we'll figure it out next summer.
Cool. If people want to keep in touch with your knitting escapades and adventures as they develop, where should they go?
My website is fionaellis.com. If they want to see updates on knitting or cats, they can go to my Instagram account, Fiona_Alice_. Yeah, that's kind of...
I feel like the Venn diagram of people who do knitting and the people who like cats is like a huge crossover in the middle.
Yeah.
So. Yes.
Great. Thank you, Fiona.
Thanks, Lydia. And Sophie.
Thanks. All right, we'll go back outside and face the wind. This podcast was also sponsored by The Fibre Company. Founded in 2003, The Fibre Company is an independent yarn producer that originally spun and hand-dyed their yarns in a small textile mill on the coast of Maine in New England. From humble beginnings to today's global brand, The Fibre Company works with a variety of producers and artisans, continuing to create yarns that delight and inspire the enthusiastic maker. To celebrate its recent relocation to the Lake District in northwest England last year, the Fibre Company launched a new yarn for autumn-winter 2015-16 named Cumbria, a blend of fine South American merino, English Masham wool, and Argentinian mohair. The Fibre Company works with the best independent designers, and its most recent collection being Nordalander, 8 accessories made from its tundra yarn designed by Rachel C. Brown.
So that was a brilliant interview that we just had with Fiona.
What a sweetie.
What an awesome girl. And because there was so much of her audio, which was so brilliant, we are going to skip Ravelry Realness. So I'm going to take this opportunity to get you guys to send in your ideas for the sorts of things you might like to hear on Ravelry Realness, where we browse Ravelry so you don't have to. And we're going to go straight to our top three.
last podcast, if you were listening, we talked about toast toppings. And the response that we had was beautiful and overwhelming. I never knew that it could bring people together.
I know, people just love toast. I love toast.
Oh, well, we now know that you guys too. I think if you're ever in a situation where you don't know what to say to someone, maybe
just ask them about toast.
Need to break the ice.
Mm.
Introduce them.
Hey, cool dating advice from the podcast. Cool question for a first date, if you happen to be going on dates. What kind of toast toppings do you like?
Can I suggest a toast? A slice of. Will you join me? I'd say yes. The universal joy of the world, therefore, is hot buttered toast. Except those who are maybe gluten intolerant. But there's other fun things to do,
I guess.
So Morgan Fugley, I think that's how I'm going to say your name now. Her number one would definitely be crunchy peanut butter and banana. Oh yeah, with butter underneath. Butter is compulsory on toast. Winky smiley. I think peanut butter and something, yeah, definitely with
banana, that's
fresh
good.
Fresh as a banana. Oh, classic, yep. We agree.
Yep. And so these are from the Ravelry forum, by the
way.
You can
say hi to us on that.
You can. And we've got Iribeiro says cream cheese with berry jam. And that is super duper tasty. And I had a friend years ago who introduced me to the cream cheese and jam like as a pancake topping, actually.
Yeah, it sounds like some sort of dessert.
Oh,
which I'm not against.
Super yummy. So that I endorse.
Thanks. I love that people, when they write their Ravelry names, they never think, like, can someone pronounce this later on a podcast? That's what people need to think about now, guys. And then taxing. That's just your name, Ritzy. Mm-hmm. During the top three, when you got to number one, Saying it's a classic. I was nodding, my internal monologue muttering, yes, yes, strawberry jam, of course, yes, couldn't agree more. And then you said Marmite. Talk about confounding expectations. I was basically numb from shock for the rest of the day. Marmite does have a strong reaction with people.
It certainly does.
But she says, to, you know, gloss over the Marmite thing, she says, golden syrup on toast is pretty amazing. Like honey, yum, but worse for your teeth. Which is exactly what she looks for in her toast toppings.
So Sally Ravels was, well, so we had a sort of slight Marmite versus Vegemite discussion on the forum because, right. I mean, are we both Marmite fans?
Definitely.
I mean, we're British.
Yeah. Well.
Vegemite is the Australian version of Marmite, which is, it's more than adequate.
Perfectly acceptable.
But it's not Marmite.
Yeah.
But Megan Fernandez is a Vegemite fan. And Pappas Baby says, Marmite, one word, wicked. Now, I read that as wicked.
But is it like, wicked? Like, how dare you mention it?
We'll never know. We're going to do a quick shout out to Mr. Josiah Bain.
I'll go with that, yeah.
We'll go with that. Who made the germ. He made the Mr. Sniffles the cold virus that we mentioned, I think, podcast 17.
Yeah, the Ravelry Realness, the cold, we had a make better knits, that's what it was. And so it was like a little cold virus. And one of the things I really like about it is the big red eyes that he's put on it.
So yeah.
It's particularly evil.
Yeah, well, he said that he gave it red eyes because it's evil. So shout out to you, because that made me laugh loads. And it was a present for his mum, because she had a cold.
Aww.
So that's all very exciting.
Ravelry Realness, finally. He didn't have to browse Ravelry, because we did it for him.
And so after that lengthy introduction, we can go to our top three, which is...
Children's books. Now, this was recommended to us by Marley Maid?
Merrily Maid.
Merrily Maid. Oh, Merrily Maid.
That is a cool name.
Then that's why you want the things to be read out, so people can get the pun. She said her top three suggestion was favourite children's books, or book you've reread every few years. I hope I'm not the only one who reaches for comfort books at this time of the year. And we thought that was lovely.
Yeah, so we went for children's books specifically, because I think books that I reread is probably not the same. Or did you not do that?
No, I did too.
Okay, good. So we went for children's books specifically, because I think books that I reread is in a different category.
I think we kind of did that as well.
We did that,
yeah.
Didn't we? We did top three books. So anyway, top three children's books.
Yay! That was just me regressing a little bit so I could get in the mood. Yeah, so I think I'm going to start with The Mitten by Jan Brett.
Knitting related. Well
yeah,
done.
It is actually. So it's based on a Ukrainian folktale of someone who loses their mitten in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And then one after another, all these little woodland creatures, you know, gradually getting bigger and bigger, all crawl into the mitten to get warmer. And it's very cute. And I remember the illustration. Oh, you know, often with kids' books, the illustrations that make it. And, you know, spoiler alert, but at the end, you know, all the animals finally crawl out. And then the little girl finds her mitten again. And it's huge. It's been stretched because, like, bigger and bigger, like a wolf and a bear. Can I climb in? So that's good. I think it's quite cute. Mitten.
Do you think that your interest in knitting can be attributed to this book?
I can't discredit it. I think it's definitely one of the things that would have sparked it.
So people who have children that they want to be into knitting,
yes,
we can recommend...
The Mitten.
The Mitten.
Yeah.
Cool. That sounds good. I have not read that book.
Well, I think, you know, you can do it in one night. You'll be... By the time we meet again, you can meet up today. Number two, I mean, it's not strictly in any order, but just for the sake of keeping things running.
Yeah.
Number two.
Yes.
Would be The Tiger Who Came to Tea. Ooh. The Tiger Who Came to Tea by Judith Kerr.
I have heard of this. I have not read this.
Ah, well. The clue in the title as to what it's
about. Is it about a lion?
Yeah. No. Yeah, it's a mum and her daughter. The child in the book's called Sophie. No, you know,
perfect.
Not really biased as why I love this protagonist in the book, but yeah, she's called Sophie. And the tiger comes and eats everything in the house.
Oh dear.
But I found one thing I remembered, one of the favourite bits as a child, is that he drinks all the water in the taps. And I remember thinking this was the most, like, bizarre and wondrous things, like how that could actually happen.
Yeah. So, all the water in the taps.
Yeah.
But wait, so the tiger comes, just eats everything, what, leaves?
Pretty much.
Cool.
But at the end of the book, they buy some tiger food just in case he ever comes back again.
Oh, they're so welcoming.
Yeah.
That's a nice little lesson.
And number one, I'm really excited about this book, is called The Jolly Postman by Janet and Alan Alberg.
I love that book.
Yes. So.
Oh my god.
It's beautifully illustrated by them as well, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So they've done a lot of kids' books, and it's... the postman going along delivering all his letters, as you could probably guess. But the book is actually made of, you know, you have each page, there's an envelope, so you get to actually physically open the little envelope and read the little letter for each of the characters. A lot of them are sort of based on, like, nursery rhymes or, like, traditional mm-hmm. fairy tales that he's all delivering to. And also, because it's November, we're going to get a little bonus Christmas mention in. There's the there's a Christmas version of it where it's like Christmas Jolly Postman.
Cool. I remember when I was little and was at primary school, when you went to the nurse's office, they had a copy of the Jolly Postman in there. Aww. And so I remember reading it when feeling a little bit poorly and maybe waiting for your mum to pick you up. And it's, you know, has comforting tones for me.
It does. Aww.
Okay, so I had a lot of fun thinking about these.
It was fun. It was a good suggestion, really. Yeah.
Yeah, so thanks again to Marily Maid. Okay, so my three favourite children's books. At number three, I've never met anyone else who's read this book who wasn't, like, my brother or sister. It's called Imogen's Antlers.
No, I never heard of this.
And in this book, spoiler alert, a little girl wakes up and has antlers.
Oh.
And her family are like, whoa, you've got antlers, what are we going to do? And so their solution, which I think is genius, is to get a special big giant hat made for her.
Oh, okay.
And that's pretty much what happens.
And that's the end of the book?
I think so. I think she just has antlers. I can't really remember that clearly.
Is that good? Is that, like, accepting what you have? Or is that hiding what you have?
I don't know. That's a good question, actually, because all I remember is thinking... that's just all I remember of it. I don't know if there was another bit after that I've forgotten. But I have just very clear memories of the way... Yeah, it's, like, beautifully illustrated, and there's just... It's a bit like Metamorphosis. It's, like, the kid's version of that. But that's quite a dark book, so maybe it's not like that. Anyway. Moving swiftly on. At number two is Green Eggs and Ham by Dr. Seuss.
A classic,
or
yeah.
Zeus. I'm going to say Seuss, because that's what everyone's... I mean, and I could have done a top three of all of his books, actually, True. Which is weird, because he's not at number one, for reasons that will become clear.
Okay.
But if I had to make a top 10, for example, it would be, like, mostly his books. Because when I was a kid, we read a lot of Dr. Seuss books, and we had all the copies that my dad had when he was little.
Oh, that's nice.
And I love Green Eggs and Ham. Well, first of all, there's somebody called Sam in it. My little brother's called Sam, so, like, you liked the Sophie thing.
There you go.
We liked the Sam thing. And I think it has a good message, because throughout the book... You know, one of the characters is saying, would you like these green eggs and ham? And the other guy's like, no, I will not eat them with a fox. I will not eat them in a box. I will not eat them, you know, anywhere, basically.
With my socks.
Exactly. But at the end, he tries the green eggs and ham, and they're delicious.
A moral for us all.
And so the moral is to try the things, because you might like them. And I think that's very important.
The end.
It's Dr. Seuss, so it's all in rhyme, which is super duper fun. And so... my favourite children's book, which I think is the best children's book ever. I'm just going to say that. It's called Not Now, Bernard.
That is a classic. I was brought up on that book as well, definitely.
And Not Now, Bernard is by David McKee. And in Not Now, Bernard, it sort of starts out with Bernard kind of bothering his parents in a child, you know... In a childlike way. And they're like, not now, Bernard. You know, we're busy. Get on with your kid stuff. Play with your toys. And then a monster shows up. And Bernard's like, Mom, Dad, there's a monster. And they're like, not now, Bernard. I'm going to spoil the end of this book because it's too good not to.
It's too good not to, yeah.
So the monster eats Bernard and smashes up all his toys and has a little riot there, and then goes and says, Roar! Roar, said the monster. Not now, Bernard, said Bernard's mum, which has got to be one of the highlights of the book. And then the monster just kind of accepts its fate and just gets into bed.
Yeah, like the last scene of the book, I remember that. It's the monster in bed just like, oh.
Like, I guess I'm Bernard now. And there's just... And it's got a very particular style of illustration, I guess. It's quite kind of like blocky and like very colourful.
Yeah.
But I just remember absolutely loving that. And I do like a slightly dark children's...
Well, there you go. That's one of them.
And that's our top three.
It's also the end of the podcast. If you want to join in with any of the chats and rambles and debates over top threes and other things, join in on the Pomcast forum for the Pom Pom Quarterly group mm-hmm. on Ravelry.com. If you're not there, what are you doing?
What are you doing with your life? And you can always email us, podcast@pompommag.com. So either of those forms of communication are absolutely fine.
Or Telegram.
Telegram, also acceptable. Carrier pigeon, also good.
Smoke signals, yes.
Yes, we accept those, all of those forms. We don't accept post unfortunately. Not just yet. Smoke signals. We're working on the postal address. So thanks for listening. Thanks again to Fiona, who was our wonderful interviewee.
Thanks to Blacker Yarns and Fibre Company for being our tip-top sponsors.
Yes, thank you very much, you guys. You make it possible for us to talk about knitting stuff.
And thanks, you guys, for listening to us talk about knitting stuff.
Bye! Bye. This podcast is produced by Lydia Gluck and Sophie Scott, with lots of help from Eli Block, who created the original music for this show. If you want to find more Eli-related music, you can go to goodgirlandthebadtimes.com.
Also, thank you to Blacker Yarns and The Fibre Company for being our sponsors.
Thanks, as always, to Megan Fernandez, who is the co-founder and editor of Pom Pom Quarterly. And thanks again to Fiona Alice, who was our interviewee.
A lovely interviewee. Thank you to all you Pom Pom buyers, subscribers, and listeners.